It's time for Seminole Headlines featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, Managing Editor Ira Schofel, and Senior Writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
Hour number two, headliner questions coming your way. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Jeff. Ira and Corey are here this hour, brought to you by Birch Orthodontics. I straight whiffed on a Birch Orthodontics appointment. I just failed to remember that my youngest son was due, and I feel terrible about it.
Yikes.
But they'll forgive me. I've given them a lot of money, small fortune.
Yeah. And we've helped build that into the empire that it is.
It's a monster because of us and her expertise.
But you should show up for the appointments.
Yeah, I just totally just driving that, on down the road.
Isn't that on Christy at this point, though?
I always blame my wife for any like missed appointment that I have.
Your kid should have reminded you.
But he's the youngest son.
Still. Yeah. He's in middle school. Hey, Dad, don't we have an appointment?
Yeah, he should know.
Yeah.
But I think the safe thing to do for all men is to blame the women in their lives. I mean, and I do. Yeah. Like, well, babe, what else do I have to do? I pay the mortgage around these parts. I bring home. What am I supposed to do?
I'm not trying to bring up something that might be controversial, but maybe it doesn't happen with Marilyn.
Dr. Cologne.
Yeah. Maybe that doesn't happen. Maybe
we'll never know. I've been happily married for almost 17 years now. We'll never know.
Birch Orthodontics.com is the website. You got me rattled for
Jeff.
Sorry.
I know. Literally, there's no chance she'll hear this.
Well, not at this point. You're making it a point to. It probably will get back to her.
BirchOrthodontics.com is the website.
She has your number.
They will. You'd be more scared of Christy than Jeff.
I know.
If you need consultation for orthodontic work for you or your kids or your family, anybody, grandparents, there's no age limit on having good teeth at Birch Orthodontics.
I don't know about getting braces like in your 70s.
What do you think? Do you think Dr. Birch would say, look, I'm just not doing this?
I mean, I just feel like as a 76-year-old or something, you'd be like, I'm not. What is the point?
There's a certain age where they won't perform surgery on old people just because of the possibility they don't wake up.
Yeah,
but braces is not.
Braces isn't
not
that.
I'm just saying. Like, I don't know. Is there an age?
Look, if you're a 75-year-old and maybe moving down to the villages, and you've heard how they roll down to the villages, and you've got some crooked teeth.
Yeah, you can't have it.
And you're now on the market.
You're ready to do some things.
Dr. Birch will take care of it. I think.
I like the where your head's at.
I just feel like you'd have done it. You'd have knocked it out. Sometime
no, maybe they
life.
Couldn't. Maybe they couldn't.
Okay.
Maybe they couldn't afford it.
Came into some money.
Okay. Yeah.
Hit the Powerball.
Now they're going to the villages and they want to get it on.
Well, next time you guys see Heather, I'll ask her the oldest person she's ever worked on.
Because I don't think she's an ageist.
Oh, she shouldn't be.
I would
she
be at some point. I would be at some point. Like if a lady came, or a man, it doesn't matter. See, I was being a sexist there. But if anybody came into my office and I was an orthodontist and they were like 91 and they said, I really want to straighten it up here. I'd be like,
I mean, how many
sir,
teeth?
For what purpose?
For the grave? What are we doing?
It's going to be an open casket.
Yeah, what are we doing?
It's going to be open mouth casket. I didn't mean I wasn't. Being gross.
There's got to be a number of teeth you actually still have to have for it to be a feasible.
Right. Anyway. I used to root to have my teeth removed. I used to say to my mom, like, this is a cumbersome thing. I hate going to the dentist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
want to.
You know, I got a floss. That sucks. Can't we just put some good ones in here and glue them in? Like, Corey's got a bunch of glued in teeth.
That's
what I want to do.
Those are the brawls back on Jimmy Carter Boulevard.
I wish my teeth would just fall the hell out so I could put some shiny white ones and just be done with it.
Hey, so are you going to. How are we going to go with the questions? Are we doing rapid
you
fire?
Do, you want to do
I'm
rapid
not saying,
fire?
No. I
hey,
just
I'll
asked,
go
relax.
Rapid fire now.
I just asked.
I got a good night's rest last night. I'm good to go. I drink a cup of coffee
before. What do you think?
I'll go. I'd like rapid fire for one segment. Do rapid fire.
Well, we're gonna go back and forth with it.
Sure.
If we do that, I cannot guarantee that I will get to every Facebook and or Twitter question, guys.
It's fine. We did our part.
Just so we know. Terry writes, gentlemen, good afternoon. It's been a minute. I was holding my breath for the unicorn to show up for fall camp, and I passed out. Since we are still in hypothetical season, who is more likely to play a down at Florida State University, Destin Hill or Travis Hunter?
Travis Hunter.
Oh, okay, you concur. Butch writes, hello, boys.
Good
every
question,
day.
Though.
Yeah, yeah it's a question. Fun. It's a fun yeah. one. Hello, boys. Every day during fall camps, you mentioned how there are certain restrictions about what you can say or not say from each practice. I'm curious. Has the coaching staff or FSU football staff brought the war chant or any other media members into their offices for something said or written? Intrigued how the FSU media is monitored when they're provided such phenomenal access. Take care. Yeah. He's addressed the entirety of the media. relatively recently, and just said, hey, guys, you know, I don't want to have to take this away. He's very good about that. There's been some things lately that were said. He doesn't get specific to any one group, at least not when we're all collectively there. And I need you guys to I just want to remind you of the rules.
Yeah, and it wasn't a threat. It was like, here's the deal. We do this. I want to do this because I think it's good for you to tell our player stories. Correct. But if it becomes a situation where we feel like so much information is getting out where it's going to hurt our players,
then we'll stop doing
it. Then we're going to stop doing it. But
yeah,
he said it was not close to that, but he just wanted to clear the air. They will also, they have a sports information staff.
They'll call you.
They will call us individually if something looks like it may have skewed across the line and ask you to maybe tone that down a little bit.
But I've only had one instance in which I was, not by this staff, but called on the carpet and like screamed at, but that was Jimbo. And he did that with everybody at varying points.
Yep.
So there was
that.
Kristen writes, as much as we are so ready for the 2022 season and say it's important, I argue that 2023 is what we are really waiting for. If we win six or less, 2023 is all about new coach and the great start all over. If we win seven or more, we await 2023 to see if they can build up on it and go to 9-3, or was it just a fluke?
Yeah.
Well, I'll worry about that when we get there. Let's get to 8 this year and then talk about how important or not important the next one is.
Sure. I was thinking about that, though. Like, say he does go 6-6. I know we say, you say he's a dead man walking.
Well,
you say that he has to win this year, and clearly he better. But I wonder if they go the Stoops model at Kentucky, because he struggled for quite a while at Kentucky. And now they, I don't know what that, whatever. I only know it because of that Twitter feud, weird Twitter feud he got in with Calipari.
Right.
Where he was, you know.
We didn't wake up on third base.
Patting himself on the back for what he's done, which is good. I mean, he has done a lot there, but it's been 10 years. First 5 years weren't great. Then last year, I think they won 10 games.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, obviously the obvious difference is Kentucky was not Florida State football.
I was going to say, Kentucky could not fall back on any, you know, 40 straight years of great football.
No, I get it. The expectations are mm-hmm. But I would argue that the team that Mike Norvell took over in 2020 at Florida State
was as bad or worse than Kentucky.
Was as bad as whatever Stoops took over in 2013
Correct.
At Kentucky.
And I would also say that, you know, there's a lot of good things. Again, we get asked the question so much. Not as much anymore, but for a long time we got the question last season, why did Willie only get 2 years and why is Mike Norvell not going to be held to that standard? Well, the difference is all the stuff behind the scenes, the way practices are run, all of the things trending in the right direction is different now than it was under Willie. The other thing I would say, Dominic Robinson, who's going to be doing those game day watch-alongs for us at warchant.com.
Awesome. His insight will be greatly appreciated.
It will be really cool. Yeah.
And he made a comment to me. We were talking back in the spring, and I was talking to him about hiring a new coach, and he said, to me, the biggest thing you need to look for when you're hiring a new coach is the coach you're going to give the most time to. Like, if this is somebody that you're not going to give enough time to,
then you know I can begin with.
It.
Yeah.
You need to, whoever, and it's not just the administration, but that the fan base, that everybody, that should be a requirement when hiring somebody. How much time are we going to give them, and can we afford to do that? And I think that's an interesting perspective.
Well, here's something else that y'all probably don't want me bringing this up, but I'm doing it because I'm provocateur.
You are.
I say that about him.
And a raconteur.
Florida State goes 6-6. Jackson State's going to go undefeated this year. They just are. And in his last 2 years, he'll have gone 21-1. And he's one of your all-time greats. And he wanted the job ahead of time. And if he's interested again, and you're bringing the players over with him that he certainly would bring, I think that throws something into the mix that maybe you wouldn't have thought of last year or the year before.
It'll get mentioned.
Yep. I mean, it will. It has to. It will.
Yeah.
So.
Hunter writes, I understand new car smell, but why are people so high on Miami again? Their new coach is a run-first guy, and their offensive line was not great last year, didn't get upgraded this year, and add on top, no real number one receiver or big-name tight end. To wrap it up, their D was terrible.
Their D wasn't terrible.
Their D wasn't terrible. They do have a very good tight end, and their quarterback is real good.
Yeah.
Their quarterback is real good. Their quarterback is real good. Yeah. You can just keep going. That's why. Their quarterback is really good.
And they went out and made some nice acquisitions in the portal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Florida State did. We all know that. But Miami did as well. And there's talent there.
And Cristobal has a nice history. I mean, a pretty good history, right, of what he's done with offensive lines for sure. And Oregon was pretty good while he was there. So
yeah, listen, I'm not. I don't think Miami's a juggernaut, but I don't think the Coastal's any good. So they have every bit reason to believe that they could win the Coastal.
I'm going
to
answer Quay in the chat real quick. He's asked a couple times if we're all in the same room. We're in two rooms. Corey and I are in one side of a glass window.
Yep. Can I, in the studio.
I can't get my hand over there, but my hand. Look, we're just
we just hold hands there a little bit.
Wait,
why are you pulling away?
That was weird. You wouldn't let go.
And
but
Justin,
I am capable. I'm capable at any second just standing up and being inside in that room.
Come and get some.
30 seconds. Come and get less than 30 seconds. 10 seconds.
Glass isn't going to protect you.
Yeah, it's weird. Seconds. It's weird. We don't have a lock on that door.
Yeah, that's true. I should say. I shouldn't say Jackson State's definitely going undefeated. They got to play FAMU early on in the season. Right. They only beat them last year 7-6. Yeah. Oh, Coach Simmons has got it going over FAMU.
I was going to say I kind of took umbrage with your assumption
that was my fault.
There, by the way,
that was my fault. I just feel like they, you know, they're very good and they got really good players.
All right, here we go. Ryan writes, fellas, time for my annual preseason question. Since Bradley Chubb lifted his leg on the logo. What separates this team from recent teams if they get down 14-3 early in New Orleans, or the Louisville game starts out like last year's game did?
Let me say this.
It's a great question, by the way, Ryan.
Who goes
if,
and gets
if
Chubb?
That happens, I do feel like there's more guys on this team that would do something about it.
I feel
it.
Like half the guys on the team.
It's a little different in that regard.
Who was it after the Florida game?
That ran out.
Was it Travis J?
It might have been Travis J.
In 18? He wasn't
here
in 18.
He's been here forever. He was redshirting.
But they all partied on the logo.
They got planting their flags.
Yeah. Was that 18 or 19? That was 18, right?
I think so.
Yeah. And there was only one guy that ran out. Now, a lot of them were in the locker room already, but I would think there'd be half the team would be rolling out to midfield to tackle Chubb.
Yeah. And to the point, I mean, that's what all of this is. I mean, so much of camp isn't about putting in plays and executing plays. So much of it is trying to instill that toughness. It was a big talking point last week. I mean, we can debate whether or not we believe it, but that is how it's built. Coaching staffs, they build toughness
by putting them
in situations during practice.
Well, and also maybe some pride of where you play and who you play for.
Well, that's where putting in that
brotherhood.
Effort, embracing the guy next to you, seeing them work just as hard as you, surviving a really rugged camp, having a coach challenge you, and then winning some damn games, man, you start to build confidence. They don't have a lot of confidence. They haven't had a reason to have a lot of confidence. I think that question's great for a lot of reasons because I think they're better, we agree, in a lot of areas, and we are assuming they're going to be a better football team this year. But they don't have a ton of things to build off of that if they get down against the first good team they play, that they can fall back on and say, well, this happened here, and we won that game. They came back and made some games close.
Right.
They didn't win those games. Yeah, they didn't beat Clemson. They didn't beat Florida. They didn't beat Louisville, the team that came back on the second half. They didn't beat Notre Dame when they came back in the first into overtime in that game. They lost those games.
But they also didn't wilt. They didn't just roll
great,
over.
Great, you competed. But at some point.
Can you continue to execute when the emotions might get you to compete, but can you execute? And that's where the Florida game, I thought they got emotional and they forgot to execute.
Yeah, but even that one, they're down 24-7 and at least came down to an onside kick that went an inch, which is still a record. That will never be broken, by the way, the shortest onside kick in history.
Did we look in the annals of college football to see, did somebody ever whiff completely?
Then it wouldn't count, would it? It'd just be offside. You have to do it again. You have to make contact.
He made
as little a contact as possible.
That's the thing. Like,
it's an art.
If you whiff, you're fine.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He actually hit the ball, which is hard.
Just
to do.
Nudged it, just a little dash.
Do you think
right
if you're
the
his dad, like just to humble him from time to time, you just go, let's go over here and look at this. Let's take a look at this.
That's not a dad's job necessarily.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
But I was going to say, like what they did last year, going 0-4 and bouncing back the way they did. I think that builds belief. You know, North Carolina, they got down by 10 early and won that game, scored 35 of the next something points. Miami, they were down, they gave up a big lead and got down by 8 late and went back and won that game. So they do have some history of answering and responding. And that's what he's so big on responding. I think that just the overall course of the season to go 0-4 and then respond the way they did, I think that builds some belief going into this season.
Cater Kirk writes, and we'll ask this before breaking here, so I'll leave it to you guys. You guys get this. Good day, gentlemen. Since JC is the only member of War Chant without a title, what title would you choose for him?
Oh, boy.
Because I'm the managing editor. You're senior writer.
I'm senior writer.
Very senior.
I'm the host.
Seniors
can I'm be. The host of the Jeff Cameron Show.
But, I mean, you got to have something
you're
to go.
You're a utility guy.
But that's not a name.
Utility guy?
Give him one of those crazy football games, like director of radio ops.
I like it.
You're the director of radio operations for War Chant.
Sports information director for War Chant?
No, just director of radio ops. You don't you don't dole out a lot of information. How about that's Ira's job.
Multimedia commissioner. I like commissioner in the title somehow. And I'll call him Mr. Commissioner.
All right. Okay.
You can be the commish.
Commish.
Commish. Host of the wildly popular Jeff Cameron Show could be across the bottom of
wildly
the,
popular in quotes. Czar is a good name for you, too.
Could do that. Host of the highest rated show in Tallahassee radio history. That's true, too. You could just do that one.
Well, that works.
You know,
can we keep doing this? Yeah. I like this. Yeah. I like. We can keep doing. Yeah, there it is.
During the break, I'm going to come up with the with that how the
former Mr. Cologne or whatever he could have been called.
Seminal Headlines 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV.
Ho 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 horizons. It took, bar and grill.
It took all the strength I had not to interrupt you, turn off your mic, and go home.
Do you like how I closed my eyes when I sang, too?
Oh, believe me, that was the best part.
I didn't look at it, thankfully.
It was unbelievable. He looked like Al Jarreau or something. He's like Luther Vandross.
Well, he was making sure it was there. I want to apologize to Horizon Sports Bar and Grill. Their delicious food should not be overlooked by Corey's singing.
Man, that's a great jingle,
gang. Distracting you from the restaurant itself. But Horizons Bar and Grill is where, Ira?
Bannerman Crossing.
You're damn right it is.
Northeast Tallahassee, off Thomasville Road and Bannerman Road. It's, man, it's just, it's incredible food, incredible people, incredible beer.
It's where we are a lot.
Hey, before the end of the week, fellas, any week, like you could be listening to this 6 weeks from now. Let's all get together at Horizons Bar and Grill.
We're there a lot. We really are. So if you want to see this in person, this trio in person.
Never mind the food. You get to see the three of us.
But yeah, the food and the drinks, the patio, it's all good, man. It's all working. It's all working at
Horizons. And if you sing the theme song, they'll give you some free food, I think.
I think you get, the bill is paid for if you sing the song. But you have to sing it like I do.
And tell them Corey's thing.
With a bar tab.
Yes,
it's amazing. Correct.
It's incredible.
It's growing. They're so kind.
Seminal Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schoffel, and Corey Clark.
It's a fun question here. I like this one right off the bat. Jared writes, what's the Seminal Headlines game plan if the following happens? A, FSU leads Duquesne 14-7 at halftime.
Oh.
Then B, Florida beats Utah 41-14. And finally, C, LSU beats us 31-7.
This all, it's those like, are three different scenarios or one scenario?
No, okay, what's the Seminole Headlines game plan if the following happens?
Okay.
So all three of these things are
That's an uplifting question.
Yeah, well, what would be the game plan? We'll vet that situation. We'll talk about those games, although we may not mention Florida beating Utah 41-14 because that's somewhat irrelevant to Florida State. Because given where Florida State plays Florida at the end of the year, we'd have a lot of time to get things worked out. The other two scenarios would be dire.
7 points in a game?
Well, no, that's halftime, 14.
No, I was talking about the next one.
The next one where they score seven against LSU and lose 31-7.
I think of those scenarios – I think the one that I've actually thought about is what if they really get off to a slow start against Duquesne, which can happen in a season opener.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And maybe just miss a couple throws, and it's just kind of going into halftime or late in the second quarter, and it's 14-7, something in that ballpark. I do feel like there's going to be a lot of – I mean, we know the chatter that's going to be on social media.
Uneasy,
and all that stuff. But really, the only thing that matters is how the players respond and how they play in the second half and whether or not – I mean, because it's possible. I don't think that's going to happen. You'd love your team to get out of the box great in a season opener, but it doesn't always happen. It doesn't mean your season's over.
I will tell you, if it's 14-7 at halftime, we got a problem. Duquesne is not going to keep this game relatively close.
Let's hope not.
I'm willing to give you 24.
We're going to talk about the halftime line.
Okay.
I think 14-7 at half, you're still the 24 is still in play.
Not the halftime. Not the first half.
Oh, you're talking about
first half line,
okay,
man. Right.
I thought you said overall.
Also, by the way, if it's 14-7, I'm just telling you. No. Jared, I will be very concerned if it is 14-7 at halftime against Duquesne.
What if they have like 290 yards of offense? They've missed two field goals and had a crazy
fumble
going in the end zone.
Stuff can happen in a season opener.
Like if the offense is at least moving the ball and not doing what they did against Jacksonville State last year, which was three plays and punt.
I'll be stunned.
I'm more about the process than the result.
You've always been that way.
That's the thing. One thing Jimbo taught me was to concentrate more on the process. Look, offense is moving up and down the field, points will come eventually.
Let me ask you this. If you want to avoid a scenario where the angst-ridden hand-wringing that we're talking about here, 14-7 would certainly, I think, cause that to be the case. you can line up and run the ball. You're going to be a running team anyhow. Your offensive line's better. You've got talented running backs. Jordan can obviously run as well. You could start this game running the ball down Duquesne's throat and get out to a lead and then just do whatever you want.
And
I'm just telling you, you don't have to sling it around the lot, because if your timing's off in the passing game, Ira, you're absolutely right. If it's inclement weather, whatever it might be, have a couple empty series. That leads to the consternation of which we speak. You can line up and you physically beat somebody's ass and establish this is not a game, guys. You guys are not competing with us out here today. Then you get past all that nonsense and you get out to a 14-0 lane, then you do whatever the hell you want.
And as far as the other scenarios, again, I mean, whatever.
It wouldn't be a fun
show. Well, 31-7 LSU is a problem. I mean, we do the show, but
it'd be a fun show.
It would be, I mean, again.
It would highlight the importance of the Louisville game.
Yeah. At least get to double digits.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, 31-7 headed to Louisville, it'd be an interesting conversation.
Hey, we had a super sticker earlier from Rob Rathbun.
Okay.
Appreciate it, Rob.
Oh,
thanks,
Rob Rathbun. Yeah, he's on the Wake Up show a lot.
Why am
good
I missing
man.
Rob
good dude.
Here? I'm missing Rob.
It's a little bit back. 2:05 p.m.
Oh, man.
Early.
This is early in the day here. I missed it. Yeah, there it is. Thank you, Rob. I thought there was a question. I was racing back there. It's just a super sticker.
Yeah.
Which isn't
just
nothing.
Showing the love.
It's important. I appreciate the love. Thank you very much.
Rob rarely asks questions.
He did mention
giver,
that he finally got his Apple Pay working again, so he's good.
Oh, there you go, Rob. Nice. Yeah.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay, back to this. How much, this is from Josh, of a route tree does Deuce Spann really need to know to be used in a situational role? 3 to 5 scripted plays a game. With his athleticism, it's not like he'll need to beat the average ACC corner with precision route running. Couldn't they just get away with having him run 3 routes, go deep post, bubble screen? They could, Josh, but ideally you want him to be a complete receiver, so you want to develop that aspect of his game, because then he really becomes a massive threat throughout the course of the game.
He's starting to do it again.
He's starting to do it.
No, I was talking about you.
No.
You're answering so fast.
Well, I'm trying to get through. That was a lengthy question, but I thought it was a pertinent question, so I wanted to answer it.
Sounds
by the way,
people are going to be listening to their podcast and thinking, did I hit it on 1.5 speed?
Well, I just wanted to get to the question.
That was great. You crushed it.
By the way, I would say to you that he is more than just a 9-1.
Yeah, and most importantly, he will be much more than that. And again, I think that's somebody, a couple times we've been asked about comparing him to Tamorian Terry because of size and height and weight is similar. I think that's a big difference. I think Tamorian liked being the streak down the field.
Loved it.
Catch the home run.
Big play. Oh,
put on the mask.
Yeah.
Throw up the deuces,
man,
to the DB. I think
Terry.
Deuce Spann seems to be – he wants to be a complete receiver. And, again, that's where you say, you look at him, man, if he puts it together, that's a different kind of athlete
and
wide receiver.
There's no way he doesn't know the routes to run. I mean, he's played football. He's played quarterback.
It's just not easy to do it.
Yes, but it's about getting the experience of doing it in live competition. But he knows where he knows what the routes are. He knows the route tree. But yeah, it's the experience.
You have to work to learn how to run them right,
and to know where the safety is. If they're playing a zone and you have an option, it's an option route. You have something like you have to know where to go, and that's the stuff about learning wide receiver. But I'm telling you today, that release he had, and I can't remember the cornerback that it was against, but that release he had
always
in one-on-ones.
Has a good release. He always
and
typically has
that's
a good
the
release.
Stuff that like it, he's not just a dude that can run fast. Like he's got some stuff,
but
to
he
him.
Can run really fast,
he
and
can.
That's important because
they
don't have
too.
A ton of those guys at receiver, and that's important. Jeff writes, if Ira is right and the Noles are absolutely a lock to go 9-3, is it more likely to be because the Noles are better than expected, or that their opponents aren't as good as expected?
Who asked that question?
Jeff.
I think
come
it's,
on, Jeff.
Jeff knows. Jeff knows.
It's not what
happened.
I said. I think – I never said that.
But
I
you
think
are bullish on the Noles. You
I,
are bullish on the Noles.
I feel better about them than I have at any point since, I don't know, 2016.
It's been a minute,
And so – but, yeah, no, I think it could be a combination of both. I just kicked my speakers. It could be a combination of both. That's the thing that nobody really ever – we never talk about. Like, I think we look at every opponent and think, especially as you start looking at the year and you start worrying about possible consequences, what happens if this doesn't work out the way I hoped? Well, not every team's going to be their best either. Not everything's going to go right for these other – Florida State's had a couple of injuries. Other teams have injuries too. Other teams have situations arise where, you know, you may not get the best effort from all of those teams. So that's why I don't think it's unreasonable. Could they beat – if every team they played their best, could they get to 9 wins? Probably not. But I think that doesn't mean that may not happen. Yeah, some of those guys may be down.
Well, I'll start right off the bat. A game that would have been at best 50-50. In fact, I think you'd have been an underdog preseason anyhow. You already probably caught a break. It doesn't look like Sam Hartman will be back in time for the Wake Forest game. That guy is that offense. He's unreal as a passer. Over, you know, I mean, think about his numbers
last
year.
Perfect for that system.
For that system. Really good. If he doesn't play and they come to tell, you better damn well win that game.
Yeah, that's more of like a 90-10 at that point.
That's
you
already
win that
a
game.
Huge break if yeah. that happens. You know, it's just, you're right. And we don't know. That's why you always say things like injury luck will play a big part of it. That's true for any team.
In their biggest games, Clemson, I mean, the biggest name games, Clemson, Florida, Miami. Florida, Miami have brand new coaching staffs. Clemson's got basically a brand new coaching staff. So you don't know that they're going to just pick up, you know, at a high level. And then you got LSU. They had a coaching change. So, I mean, there's factors. Again, I think a lot of times fans, some dwell on the positives, some dwell on the negatives. I think there's a possibility it could be some of both. Florida State's better than people think, and those teams are not as good as you think.
I want to point something out here because we have a question about it, and it's not a knock on the question, but I saw something last week where somebody brought this up as well. And we just need to dispel this right off the bat. People like to point out that Florida State will face a number of quarterbacks that can scramble and how difficult it is for Florida State to stop a running quarterback. That's true of everybody. That's true of everybody. Nobody loves a guy that is an elite runner at quarterback. Nobody. Look how often people struggle to stop Josh Allen in the NFL. These are NFL defenses. That big son of a bitch runs a 4.5 40 and he's 240 pounds.
Wait till you see my Falcons this year with Mariota. Good luck, NFL.
Everybody struggles with a mobile quarterback because, if they have any passing ability at all.
Because so many of the principles are based on that quarterback not running.
Yeah.
Of what you're doing defensively.
They're broken plays a lot of times. I mean, yeah, we're talking about.
They're heartbreaking, too. Like
it
when
sucks.
You're 3rd and 12 and you cover it well, and then he gets outside and runs for 22 yards, it's like, oh.
And then you have situations where Clemson last year decided, no, Jordan Travis, you're not running against us.
Wait, they're going to take it away.
Well, now you have to have a way to counter that. And Florida State did not have a way to counter
that. Not against that defense. And I don't think against that Clemson defense this year.
They may not.
They will not either.
I mean, you're better out wide.
But I'm just saying.
You can maybe hit. All you got to do is hit one of those plays and you win that game. Just play by a wide receiver and you win that game.
We'll make a bet on that game too. Rick writes, hey, Jeff, Silver Fox, and Sweet Pea, two things on my mind. Saw a headline. This is the first time since 1974 both Florida and FSU are not ranked to start the season. First thoughts, impressions? Second, saw ESPN praising Napier and the rebuild at UF. They stated the non-coaching staff, or the coaching staff, the non-coaching staff, the analyst, if you will, is what he means, is twice the size of that arrival FSU. Can we beat this absent joining the SEC or the Big Ten? And then he wrote, yay sausage, fix your crooked teeth with birch.
I'd be curious if that's accurate. I'm not sure that that's accurate. Florida State's really improved their support staff as well.
Dude, they've got a ton of titles. You want to talk about titles? Like, go look at the Seminoles.com, like the football coaching staff. It's like as many coaches as the rest of the athletic department combined. There are a ton of coaches.
Florida has really publicized it, what they've done.
Well, that was Napier's plan, and he was asked about it the day he got the job. So, I mean, it makes sense that he's going to do that, right? Yeah, he's made it a point.
But Florida State has put a lot of resources into their staff as well. What was the first part of the question? Do you remember?
The first part was, first impressions, thoughts about the fact that neither of these two teams are ranked for the first time since 1974 in the preseason.
No, I mean, it's not just surprising.
1974. Florida. Well, were you in middle school then? Where were you?
I was three. I was living in Holland. I was living in Europe.
3 years old as well.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting. It's tough when you guys are so much older to keep track.
Yeah. I was in Heerlen, Holland.
74,
running around playing.
That's a good run when you go 50 years with one of you two being ranked. That's pretty crazy. I didn't know Florida was that good in like the late 70s that they were ranked.
Well, one of the either.
Yeah, so even still, like 75, they were good. Because Florida State clearly wasn't ranked preseason until the late 70s.
Sean writes, love Jeff's absolute blitzkrieg of the questions last week. Great job. Hope you continue that. We'll see. I don't know, Sean. You liked it because I got to your question. I don't always get to Sean's question.
Sean, but he's original elite headliner.
He is an elite headliner. There's no getting around
that. You know
who
Stephanie brought up last night was Bauer Sauce.
Yeah, we haven't heard from Bauer Sauce.
Bauer Sauce, we're putting an APB out on you, buddy.
I hope everything's okay, man. We haven't heard from him in a while, and he was one of the heartbeats of the show back in the day.
Frederick writes, gents. So I keep hearing that at practices, Jordan Travis's passing game is the main area of development because everybody knows he can run, but is any effort being put to improve his running skills? Being shifty and avoiding contact takes reps to improve. So I'm just hoping some effort is being put into how he runs and enhancing his running abilities. I guess he wants him to stay healthy, obviously. That's what this is about.
No.
No. I think that what they have done is encourage him to understand how important it is for him to stay in games. And I think, you know, when he in the past, last year and the year before, when he got to run, when he made plays with his legs, he was always looking to make as big a play as possible because he was always kind of competing for the job. Now, and because the offense really didn't have anything else, I think now you will see him a little bit more conservative, not trying to run through tackles. There's been times the last couple of years where, you know, he'd see two defenders and try to knife through them for an extra couple of yards.
Yeah, and then wear a beating.
I think you'll see less of that.
Yeah, but I also think don't expect him if he gets one-on-one with a safety or a linebacker to get in the fetal position.
No.
I mean,
no.
He'll put his foot
in the ground and go by.
Yeah,
him.
But he's an elite runner. He is really – that's the thing he does best, and he has gotten better, I think, throwing. But the thing he does best is one-on-one, man. That is not somebody that gets tackled one-on-one.
Well, there's a play today where we were watching 11-on-11. I'm not describing the play, but a play broke down or nothing was open. And he takes off, and it's just that reminder of, oh, man, yeah, there's 25.
That's still there, too.
Yeah. There's 25 yards.
Yeah, on a third long.
Yeah.
When something's not open, it's like, oh, okay, we still got a first down because of his legs. Yeah, they get out of bounds when you need to get out of bounds. But also, if you got a chance to hit it for 80, go 80.
Burke writes, how much can attitude, quote-unquote, help raise the ceiling on a team's win-loss record? And can you say how much you've seen an improvement, if any, in FSU's players' attitudes? I think they got good attitudes. We've talked a lot about Norvell transforming the locker room and getting away from some of the toxicity that was what he inherited and really doing a good job of flipping the roster in that way. And I think that we're a lot of times, Burke, we're talking about that. The players care to be there. They work real hard. They have the proper attitude. I haven't seen any attitude issues. I think everybody's got a zeal for what they're doing and trying to get better. As far as your win-loss ceiling, yeah, man, it beats the hell out of a team that's disjointed and convoluted and dislikes one another. It's hard to win anything if not everybody's on the same page. But at the end of the day, talent decides pretty much what your ceiling is in terms of wins. I mean, you have a bunch of kids with great attitude, but they all suck, right, it's not going to do you much good.
There's the ceiling's obviously much lower.
Pretty low, right?
But I think not attitude, like, yeah, they're picking up their trash and they're nice kids. I mean, it's not so much that, although they do that. Like today, Darius Washington, after the last rep of team drills, he sprints over to where the linemen go at the end of practice. He sprints full speed to get all the blocking stuff out so they can do it for that last drill. Like, I don't know if he was tasked with doing that.
I've seen him pick up trash.
Well, like, they make that a point. But I don't think that's going to – I mean, that could – I don't know. I don't know how you factor that in a quantify.
It's not
going to
get you an extra win.
But I think the competitiveness – when you talk about attitude, the competitiveness of the team and the players does matter.
Well, and what
don't
you
just
want,
sit there and take stuff. Don't just lay down and get beat 59-3. Have some, and don't get in fights when you're down by 50 points in the fourth quarter. Like, I think this team is much more competitive in the day-to-day practices than I've seen since we've been watching them.
In the grand scheme of things, obviously you want best of both. You want the talent, and you want that.
Yeah.
Where things can go awry is when you, or where things are right now, I think in the last year or so, has been you're getting to where you need in terms of the other stuff, but now you got to get better talent. Towards the end of Jimbo's tenure, it was the exact opposite. They had the talent, but they had lost all of the other stuff.
Well, he had lost the locker room.
Trashing the plane when they would go on trips.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I mean, there was the stories you heard behind the scenes where the players were just running amok. I'm not saying illegal things, but just there was no respect for the facility, no respect for themselves.
I mean, you represent something.
And you saw it in some of those games where, like the Louisville game, where the other team's telling you about it on the field, and you're not doing anything about it.
Yeah.
So the idea is you want to get both. You want to get both.
That felt like, you know, and I remember talking about that. That felt like a real low point. And I remember thinking, this can be tough to recover from that. If that's an indicator of the way that those guys feel about each other, the school, their coaching staff, to be on the wrong end of a game where a team could potentially drop 100 on you.
Oh yeah.
And then they're saying what they were saying and walking into your huddle telling you about it, and you don't do a damn thing.
Odell had to yell at him.
Odell was the only one, and it was appalling. I felt bad for him because he's a great Seminole, and he had to have been like, what are we doing around here?
That was a sign. And then the next week against South Florida, giving up 40-something points. And then the North Carolina game is when he brought out the promise notes. All that stuff was really bad. That was a tale of what was coming. Now, they finished off great, but they had an unbelievable running back. And a good offensive coach, let's be honest. But they finished off well, but I think that was the sign of
– It was a real indicator.
Now, yeah, you're right. I think they have everything in place where the foundation has been set. You just need an influx, let's just say, an injection of maybe 4- and 5-star talent to take
Well, and
off.
If that offensive line that Jeff talked about becomes what you want it to be, and if these skill position players, the Deuce Spans and Johnny Wilsons, develop into really, really good
NFL
college
dudes,
football.
Maybe?
That,
yeah.
Now you're talking.
Walter writes, hello, gents, and Showtime. Over-under for tight end receptions is 3 against Duquesne. What do you got?
I'm going to say over.
You like Biscuit. Biscuit's going to get 3
Biscuit.
By himself.
I like Biscuit. I also think that you're going to, if things go according to plan and not that 14-7.
Nonsense, right?
I think that the backup guys are going to be in there a lot in the second half. You like that comfort blanket in the middle of the field, Ira, I think. You're getting your first real reps that matter. Maybe you take some easy throws in the middle of the field to the big targets.
What's your favorite donut?
Boston cream.
Is it really? Yeah. Just a straightforward Boston? Yeah, easily. So many better choices.
Really? I had 3 that I went to when I used to eat donuts. Glazed, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to name the company, but you guys all know which glazed I'm talking about. Chocolate frosted, glazed with a little chocolate frosting.
Mm-hmm.
And then blueberry. Blueberry cake donuts. Those were my 3.
I'm with you on the blueberry one. I'm an apple cinnamon guy with the apple cinnamon jelly inside there.
Fruity donut guy.
Well, it's just it's like a it's not quite a fritter, but it's like a old fashioned.
You should get an umbrella with that
thing. Little old fashioned donut.
Yeah,
but it's got the apple cinnamon infused in there. Very tasty.
Where'd that come from?
If I were,
I thought of it. I had a question.
Oh, you just should have put it on Facebook.
Yeah, I just decided to do that. Yeah.
You should have.
Do you think anybody over the age of 4 orders the ones with the white filling? On purpose, like the white cream.
That's not
just
what we
disgusting.
Do.
It's gross, man. Why
it's
is that
the sweetest?
A thing?
That's what I'm saying. Like nobody. Sometimes they'll give it to you. Like Kim will get the assorted box.
Yeah,
and they just throw it in there, and it's like, what do we? Like, who wants this?
Nobody. The lemon is an underrated donut as well. Yeah, a little underrated.
And I like an old fashioned jelly donut.
I don't like anything. I don't like.
I like an old fashioned donut. Just a plain old fashioned ass donut dipped in coffee.
Mm. All right.
I have not had a donut in a long time. I think I'm going to get one this week. I just thought I'd ask you two gentlemen what your favorite donut was.
Well, I'll go with the glaze.
Good chat.
It is a good chat. I'm glad we got to do this.
When's the next War Chant meetup, writes Carlos. Also, I have a work associate who loves the Jeff Cameron Show and wants to come out. Can I bring him and keep my FSU fan card? Oh, I'm not against meeting the people at all. We here at War Chant are always happy to meet
him. Was it a gator? He didn't specify. Is it a gator or a hurricane?
He didn't
like
say, I don't know. I mean,
of course you can bring them.
Yeah, of course.
I was thinking. So we do the at CP. We do the we'll be doing the happy hour thing again Fridays before home games.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I assume that'll be our next one is the Friday before Duquesne. Jeff and I will have the happy hour thing that we do
which is fun.
And then we have the pregame show. The whole staff will be there.
And then we have the Hotel Indigo.
At Hotel Indigo. And then Kayvon just asked if we should talk about cuts of meat. You want to tell your cuts of meat story?
No. You got a cuts of meat story?
No. Do I have a cuts of meat story?
Come on, man.
I don't know.
Oh, he's getting old, Ira.
Letterman?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Shannon was on Letterman. Played
Correct.
Know Your – it was called Know Your Cuts of Meat.
That's why.
It's crazy.
Praise God, man. I've heard him tell this story countless times. I was imploring him.
I've erased her from my memory.
I'm
none of that
about
matters.
You.
It's not like Dr. Carroll.
No.
He's not
– No, I don't think about her constantly like this guy over here. She's out of my life now.
It was cologne, and it's Marilyn.
Whatever. But yeah, Shanna was on the David Letterman show back probably 20 years ago now, and she got picked from the crowd.
More than 20 years ago.
It was after 9/11 to bring it back.
Is
to
it?
That. Yeah. Actually, it's probably the 20 year anniversary coming. Yeah. We just did it. And she got picked out of the crowd to do Know Your Cuts of Meat. And she got it right. He told her the answer as he read it. And we got a big box of meat. We got a big box of steaks from one of their famous steakhouses. Got an Italian restaurant
gift card.
A really nice restaurant, too. It was awesome. It was a really cool time. It was, if you want to go back and look it up, it was the episode in 2002 with Gina Davis as the main guest, and Robert Plant was the musical guest.
Oh, nice. Really?
Yeah, that was fun.
Seth writes, who's the fastest player on the team? I've heard you guys say Span can move. Just wondering who you all thought would win in a 40.
I think it's him.
Rodney Hill's probably up there too. It depends on the distance. If it's
he's 40 yard dash.
He might be Rodney Hill, man.
Yeah, he can really fly. He's got a burst. Pokey's very fast.
Deuce is faster than both of them.
You think so?
I don't know about 0 to 40. I'm not sure in a 40 yards.
Yeah, that long
so
stride.
60 yards. I think Deuce is definitely winning the 60 over anyone.
He wins 50 easily.
Rodney Hill does have that quick burst, man, and he is
fast.
By
the way, apparently Trey Benson's numbers are insane as well.
They got a little more speed now.
They do. That's and the fact that Trey's the size that he is and he's running anywhere in that conversation.
And we also don't really know, like, about Sam McCall or Azariah right. Thomas, because they're not – we don't get to see them, like, really go full speed right. just running straight ahead. So maybe they're up there too.
Josh wants to know what's more likely, Benson with 500 yards or more or 8 rushing touchdowns.
500 yards or more.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
Yeah, I know you do.
I do. I just
yeah. – They got a lot of guys. They got a lot of guys, man. Toa Fili. Toa Fili is going to be a big part of that.
Over
offense.
Under 300 yards rushing for Toa Fili.
Over.
Over.
And I think he's going to have, I would say, 650 yards from scrimmage.
Total offense?
Yeah, 700 yards total offense.
Okay, I'm going to take the under on that.
That's 50 a game.
I'm going to take the under on that.
55 a game.
But I appreciate your optimism.
Because he's going to hit one big play every couple games, and I think he's going to get you 2 or 3 first downs every game.
Man, that is a...
I'm bullish. I'm bullish on Toe Dog.
Okay, well, we're going to bet that, too.
On I'm not betting with you on anything. I mean, what are we doing?
I'm cleaning Corey out today.
We're not betting.
This is going to be a good day for the Cameron household. I mean, it's fun to willy-nilly just say a number and feel good about it, Corey.
I
it's
do.
A whole nother to have to put up for
I
it.
I mean,
now.
300 yards rushing is that's 28 yards a game.
But you said how much in total offense? 500 and some odd yards?
600. 650. 650 of total offense.
Fellas.
Come on.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio War Chant TV. Continues in a moment.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
All right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Nathaniel Hornblower, my man, writes, fellas, imagine that you are, unfortunately, Brian Foghorn Leghorn Kelly. Mm. How do you manage the game offensively versus FSU? And what specifically do you attack? The defensive ends in the run game, maybe? Maybe some zone read, boot action? Also, we've been thinking about this the wrong way. Imagine free regular dental work for all players under NIL courtesy of Dr. Birch. And she uses only the best Bama table brand Novocaine at every appointment.
Okay.
Oh, and don't forget your goodie bag there, young man. There's floss, toothbrush, and a little toothpaste box with a rolled up wad of cash in there for you. Hashtag just a tiny little pinch for that ass. All right, thank you. That's nice great as always.
The blueprint is there for you, Heather. Mm. Make it happen, man. Are you a fan or not? Like, do you want to be a part of this program's resurgence or not?
By the way, not for nothing, his offhanded remark about attacking the defensive ends and running right at them is what I would do if I were LSU. I would. I'd challenge Jared Versh and McClendon and those guys. Briggs. I like Briggs a lot. I think he'll do fine. It's going to be interesting to see how they use them. And when down and distance changes personnel and kind of going to be fun. They have some people they can match up there, so it'll be good. Jared Verse is we don't talk enough about how interesting it's going to be to see him make the jump.
Yeah.
You know, we know what an athlete he is. We know how strong he is. Every now and then, once a practice, you see something from him where you go, whoa, that's different. But does he have the discipline for run fits? Is he strong enough to hold up throughout a game? I mean, he did just come from Albany. He is young. It's unreasonable, you know, to think that he's going to be an every down guy or anything like that.
It will be interesting to see what their game plan is, because I do think, but even if they want to run the ball, if they have a mobile quarterback, if Jaden Daniels is the quarterback, which it sounds like, he's obviously a mobile guy. So do you go heavy personnel and then now Florida State's got to keep an extra linebacker in and play more straight up, or do you spread them out and try to run out of that? And so a lot of that's going to dictate, you know, who Florida State has on the field. But I wonder if we see more 4-3. They played probably 95% of the last season in the nickel.
This is kind of a few fun questions here, okay? And we have to do the best we can to just be as straightforward, honest as we possibly can. I know we always do, but here we go. Ryan writes, Micah Pittman compared Jordan Travis to Justin Herbert earlier this week in a quote. That alone is...
We all just kind of moved along.
Yeah. Andrea Adelson also mentioned him as a quarterback to watch for in the ACC in her preview. Two very different things there, Ryan, but okay.
That's fair.
From what you've seen, does he have a legit chance to be a great college quarterback?
I believe, I'm going to answer before you.
Okay.
I believe if he was in the right system with talent around him, I think he could have a great season. I don't know that I expect that this season at Florida State. But, yeah, man.
It's also tough to define great.
Well, I mean,
say, we do need to define our terms. He's not Charlie Ward. He's not going to be.
But there have been quarterbacks in systems with certain athletes around them that have monster seasons.
Sure, the Heisman winning season.
He could do that in that kind of situation. I mean, look, he's not like he lacks arm strength or certainly doesn't lack running ability. Strength. So there's a lot of things he had, a lot of tools. And that's why I said if he doesn't have a good year, to me, it's on the coaches. Because there's a lot to work with there. They have to figure out the best way to use it.
I kind of recoil at the idea of his name being mentioned alongside Justin Herbert. That's a teammate trying to build him up.
And it's funny because he said Jay Herb. I was there when he said it. We talked to him on Thursday in Jacksonville. And he said, yeah, I haven't had a quarterback like this since Jay Herb. And I thought he said Jay Herd. But either way, I was like, who is this, man? Is this some kid he played with in California? Is this a Calabasas quarterback that's somewhere? I don't know who Jay Herd is.
Short segment, so we got to get another one in here. FSU versus Duquesne player props. Jordan Travis pass yards, 214.5, over, under.
Under, because he's not going to play enough.
I'll go over.
I'll go under.
I'd go over against LSU, though.
Rush yards, 44.5, Jordan Travis.
Over.
Duquesne? Under.
Over. He's going to hit two big ones.
Under. Ontario Wilson, receptions, 3.5. Yards, 53.5.
Under, over.
I might go under, under.
I'm going to go under, under. Trayshawn Ward, rush yards, 67.5.
Under. Because Toa Feely is going to get 90.
And Benson.
I looked it up, by the way.
That's tough. There's a lot of guys running.
Toa Feely had 350 yards rushing as a freshman on 35 carries.
I'm going under.
Just throwing that out
there. Going under here with Trayshawn Ward, 67.5. I think that all those guys are going to share a lot of guys. Rodney Hill going to get carries in that game, too.
Josh Burrell, the whole crew, the whole gang.
The whole crew. We got 1 minute here. Bob Fiore writes, Stanford Stephen the Bear don't think the Noles will win more than six games. They make arguments for Pitt, Miami, NC State, and North Carolina. It doesn't seem like they know our competition very well. Anyhow, he wants to know what we think of that. I don't think anybody from the outside sees this coming if Florida State wins 8-9 games.
Why
but that is
they?
Normally the way that it is.
That's how
fairness.
It is everywhere, especially because of the transfer portal.
But also,
now it's hard to know what teams have.
Also, you've had five straight losing seasons.
Yeah, and that's a fair thing to say. Ira, Corey, great
love
job
everyone.
As always,
we
brother.
Love you.
To all of you, thank you so much. Director Matthew, great job. Be well, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Peace.